And this takes us to a more core application of ATM, with a presentation from Eurocontrol headquarters, have been working in the area of simulator component design and decision tools for a very long period. And they're going to report on their latest developments of the trajectory predictor and the way they want to do that, if possible, in an open fashion. Carlos is going to make the presentation. Carlos, please.
I'm going to speak to you about what we are doing in the field of trajectory prediction. I think it was already mentioned this morning from Gilles. It's not sure that it could be really classified as open source software, because it's more to make something publicly and available to be used for other things, but not really for making that as an open software product really to use. Maybe a few words on where we are working on that. Between the Eurocontrol Agency and the FAA of the United States, there is a coordination committee to coordinate some research activities. That works through action plans, and one of them is the Action Plan 16 on Common Trajectory Modeling. And it's within that activity that we have been initiating the white boxing of a trajectory predictor, which I will try to describe. Now, you may wonder, for those who are not really exposed frequently to the ATM environment, why trajectory predictor? You can see trajectory predictor is more or less used everywhere within the ATM system. On the ground, it goes from flow management prior to the aircraft takeoffs. It's into all the flight data processing system when the aircraft is airborne. We need it for the new tools we are investigating to implement, some of them simple ones, between quotes, conflict detection. Other ones, more sophisticated ones, by example, multi-sector planning. How can we plan in real time the traffic across sector and balance the load such that we can use the maximum of the capacity available? And on the other end, if I may say so, we also have that within airline operation centers where they do the optimum flight planning between city pairs. And in the air, it was already mentioned this morning, the TCAS system on board, but also you have the flight management computer, which predicts a trajectory which it uses for guidance. In the old ones, it was only to do an horizontal guidance, but in the most modern ones now, they are also able to guide the aircraft on the horizontal and the vertical path. So we have trajectory prediction everywhere. And you will not be astonished if you hear to some of the high-level management presentation of new ATM concept that one of the more frequent buzzwords you will hear now is that we are going to move towards trajectory-based ATM. So, especially in the ground part, in which we are interested, the three first points there, the clients for this trajectory prediction have different requirements for their trajectory predictor. So under the Common Trajectory Modeling Initiative, we say, why not to take action and build white box ATP in order to be able to show that to the clients and that they can use that to better gather the requirements that they need in order to meet the requirements of the final application they are working on. This is what has triggered the idea of white boxing ATM. How is the ATM system today? On the ground, you have different flight data processing systems. It was mentioned, I think, we have on the ground something like 40 to 50 different systems using different operating systems and obviously using different software. Each of them has its own trajectory predictor. We are evolving in the concept by developing new tools. Tools for planning, like I told you, multi-sector planning or arrivals management. Tools for separation, like conflict detection, conflict problem. They also use ATP. On the air, every flight management system has also a trajectory predictor. Fortunately, as it was just mentioned in the presentation before, also there, we only have two or three manufacturers for the flight management system. But everyone has his own TP, and we have a consistency issue. And even in this figure, it is a little bit idealized because we represent for most of the stuff that the trajectory predictor process itself is decoupled from the application. And it's even often not true. The trajectory predictor is often within the application itself. What will under common trajectory modeling dream of? Well, you see already that we have put some realism in our dreams, that we have assumed that we will all still need a trajectory predictor for the air part and a trajectory predictor for the ground part. But on the ground part, we would like to move towards maybe a single one or at least consistent one. So even at planning level, we could use, when we do flow management by the central flow management and units in Brussels, we could use the same trajectory predictor that is we use at tactical level. or by the new tools. Like that, we will have consistency and interoperability. Well, you still see that as long as we have two TPEs, and that will probably stay forever, we will have a problem of having consistency between air and ground. That will trigger some of the additional work which needs to be done. I have only two slightly technical slides. We have been defining the generic structure, or trying to do so, the generic structure of a trajectory predictor, independently if it's used on the air or on the ground. If you take this box as being the trajectory predictor, well, it needs an input data which is formatted to the right way in order that it can be built a flight script. Let's take a flight script as being a set of instructions. These flight scripts are put into a trajectory predictor engine, which is a software process, and it just interprets that as if this will be a language. Obviously, in order to compute a trajectory, it needs metadata, it needs aircraft performance models in order to simulate, to emulate the behavior of the aircraft, and it needs some TP functions library. How do you compute navigation, how do you compute turns, and so on. And you will there output a trajectory, which we can use services in order to use, to take that trajectory output, output of the engine as an input and do the required additional process such that it is suitable for use within the tools. By example, if you are doing, let's call within the flight data processing system, you want to build a list of sectors, you will get a trajectory here, you will get airspace information there, and you will be computing when the aircraft will enter in which sector and when it will exit. Now, one of the important issues we have spotted there is that this flight script, the set of instructions which you use in order to drive your trajectory engine, it's a very important element because it helps you to decouple the trajectory engine part, so the software process part, if you want, from the application requirements. We need absolutely to decouple engine calculation process from requirements. But also, the script should define what needs to be computed, but also how to be computed. You remember, maybe I've only listed three clients of trajectory prediction, but you can imagine that if you want to do real-time flow management, where you need to compute a lot of trajectories, but for a long time in advance, you have a requirement which is you must calculate very fast a lot of trajectories, but you can live with a lower accuracy than if you will be conflict probing. So through the use of a flight script, a type of standard, you could control that type of behavior of the trajectory. So in order to be able to code that, we have been working on the definition of common aircraft intent description language, which will allow this decoupling by coding what needs to be done. Also, the flight script must be capable of supporting different ways of operations. By example, in the tools we are thinking now, we have some tools on which we are working, we mean open loop, by example. You do a prediction, and you compare the progress of the flights along that prediction. We have other tools where we want to build, in a way, closed loop. You have a constraint, and you make your trajectory predictor through the interface with the flight script run until that constraint is met, and you generate advisories for the controller to be followed in order to match that constraint. It's a type of different philosophy where the controller will be present with advisories that he should follow if he wants to get that plan done. Now, what do we see as possible from the experience of the white boxing process? What do we see as possible open source software components? Well, we believe that all what is into the red box, as well as the preparation part, as well as the services, are proprietary to the agent which will build the application and which will need to implement that within a given flight data processing system, by example. By defining an intent description language which could make the interface between a flight script and the trajectory engine, we believe that all the part, if you want, which is rounded by blue, could be making open software. At least in our process of doing the white boxing, this is what we want to do. And we have started with the Meteo library. Well, if you have functions where to convert one type of speed and another type of speed, there is no reason to every time record that. Same thing for the trajectory prediction, turn computation, or even for the EPA performance library also. And we could even go one step further where the TP, the trajectory predictor engine, so the software process, which will process the script and compute the trajectory, will also be made open source, because you will control the functionality such that it matches your requirements to the flight script. So that could be making open source. Will bring, in that case, well, quite some advantages in terms of interoperability. When we mean that we use aircraft performance library, we don't mean here that all the aircraft performance model should be part of that. The aircraft performance model should be kept outside the application and probably be accessed through an API, because the requirements there may be very different from one application to the other. I give you a few examples of what we meant by the different elements that we could make open source software. Well, that was, as it was also mentioned in the my previous slide, when I was still doing some programming and not using Microsoft PowerPoint. Well, you have Meto functions which deals with conversion over speed. It's the same thing for everybody. There is no reason that, personally, I record that every time I do it. Same thing for turn calculations. Same thing even for navigation ones. In the process where we are now with the white boxing of the TP, we have already done that part. We have not yet done that part. Therewith, I come now to you. Where are we in this process that we have started something like 6 months ago already? We have made open source the Meteo and the aircraft performance functions. It's open source code, and it's available through a set of libraries that you can call. We have also put as open source the API for decoupling the aircraft performance model from the trajectory engine. We have worked, this is with Boeing Research and Technology Madrid, we have developed a type of standard to develop, to build an aircraft intent description language which will allow the writing of the flight script in isolation from the computer process of the trajectory engine. And we are in this process for the moment because the aim was not really to build an open source software trajectory engine that we will give to the users and that they will use it. But the initial, and still the target now, is to build a test harness with a trajectory engine open source software such that the user can play with it and help him in gathering his requirements. Because we have, as I mentioned already, we have new tools, we have new functions which aim to be implemented within the ATM environment, and these new functions have new requirements. Now, it is difficult if you don't have anything except your own TP or proprietary one if you are a national administration to gather the requirements to what will be necessary for, let's call it like that, the next generation of a trajectory predictor. So the idea was to build a test harness such that you can execute the TP and making the one TP, it was the Eurocontrol TP because it has been built with community money and it's open to everybody, and make that trajectory engine component of the trajectory predictor as open source. I think as it was mentioned there, it was mainly to make it available, public, and understandable. One of the major reasons behind it was to make it understandable, such that through the test harness, the client could say, okay, if I need this level of accuracy with this speed of calculation, I know in the trajectory engine where I have to put my effort, or I know what are the trade-offs I have to live with. Because if you don't have that, obviously, SIP will tell you need perfect accuracy, zero response time, and zero cost. That will be ideal requirements for a trajectory predictor. The last is still in gray because we are not yet there. So we are working on the process. This is why we in gray we use the word. We have a gray TP for the moment, but not a white box completely TP. Well, what are the benefits from us? I think the flight script, I can switch that. We have already mentioned it. The aircraft performance libraries also. APIs, same thing. I think it's here where we are working. So we are not really, as I mentioned, producing open source software, but we want to support the user in really doing an educated choice. But by making one TP, one trajectory engine available publicly, we hope that may be, through a larger community, a way to push that into the ATM world. Because one of the big problems we have in Europe is interoperability because of these numerous systems that we have, and fragmentation. All that, in fact, is cost for the operators. I think the cost is very well covered already from other open source software ideas. But I think another option will be, it's what it was mentioned already, that if you make something open source software, it will also benefit from the improvement that people will do to it, because they need to improve part of it in function of their application. Just a minute before I raise your question. We were not sure that we will add some questions because of the very specific work that we have been doing. So we had already wants to raise two. One thing is, how can the introduction of open source software within the ATM system improve efficiency, cost, and safety? Because today, we don't have that interoperability, and we cover it to the definition, it was covered also in the previous presentation, of very costly layers of APIs. This is very costly just to force an interoperability, which could maybe have built at the earlier stage. And the second one, which was tackled at the beginning of the presentation, is how open source software handles safety critical applications. We had a point of view which raised the point that, okay, most ATM applications today, they are not safety critical. The system can still work when the system falls down. It's an extremely safe system based on operations. We had another point of view from SIP is that in the next 20 years, we want to double the amount of traffic. The human controller probably cannot move double of the traffic without tools. In that case, that tools will become probably safety critical. And I conclude this.
Thank you, Carlos.
Right, in terms of how to improve efficiency, cost, and safety, efficiency and cost, within that we have three trajectory prediction engines that I know of in operation, and we're currently writing a fourth. Where can I download this from?
Still a year.
Oh, you mean you haven't released it yet? You're going
no.
To.
Right. We're talking to Alison.
Yeah, but we are talking to Alison Roberts.
Right.
Yeah.
Release early, release often, please.
Yes. It's not only a TP. We would like to release that as a test harness with the TP.
Well, fair enough, but it would be very interesting to have a look to be able to see into what's going on. So if the development would become more transparent, that would be great.
It's maybe one of the lessons we have to learn from today, that one of the approaches to be more successful in this arena is to release often and release early, even if this has risks for the quality image and so forth.
Yeah. And you're not, with open source, if you don't claim it to be industrial strength, nobody will blame you if it's not.
I've heard over and over that we're very fragmented here in Europe in terms of ATM.
Yes.
What is the story in the United States?
The United States is not, because they have a single system. However, the interest of the FAA in participating in this specific work is that they are more worried by a safety issue than by an interoperability issue. The reason is that they are dealing with implementation of different tools. They have this REC tool, they have CITAS tool, and each of the tools has its own TP, as it was presented in one of the first slides. And they were worried by the fact that if you use one TP for supporting one tool, and you have more than one tool in operation, the output of these tools could be at worst contradictory, and at least non-consistent. And so they will be rejected by the controller.
So is it a many supplier market, or is basically Lockheed ATM that's providing the US market or region?
But Lockheed ATM is now providing the URED tool, the implementation of the URED tool, but it was also the CITAS tool, which was developed by NASA Ames and has been longly evaluated by FAA.
So there is a main system, but there is a multiplicity of tools from different vendors.
Yes, apply to the tools.
To the core system.
Yeah. The core system itself, the flight data processing system, if I remember well, that is existing in the US, aims to be consistent. But on that, FAA wants to plug tools for conflict detection or tools for planning. And these tools cannot use the TP which is embedded into the flight data processing system, often because it was not developed for that purpose and is too simplistic. And so they come with their own TP, which means you may have inconsistency in the output.
More questions, yes, please.
I'd like to congratulate you, because I think that particularly your slide with the blue boxes, white boxes, blue boxes, I think that you have very solidly identified the most opportune parts of the system. And the reason I say that is, listening to your story, it seems to me that if you were thinking of this as a business and not just an operational flow, the value-added activities of ATM are flow planning and collision detection and avoidance. And then the trajectory projection, which you described, and the language that describes it and the meta functions that are common to it. There's nothing value adding about that. You know, it's just utility.
It's utility.
And what your presentation reminded me of, quite strangely, is the news media industry, where there is a markup language. I assume that AIDL is XML-based.
We have not made any choice for that.
Yeah.
We are at least at conceptual level.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's a markup language called NewsML, which began internally within Reuters and then was adopted by the entire industry. And Reuters footed the bill, not just for a lot of the development of the language, but also to develop a toolkit, an open source toolkit, which is analogous to the engine that you're talking about. And we were asking the question earlier, why would a industry player do this? And it's because the news industry realized that to create value was not an internal problem, it was a network problem. And that for Reuters and Reuters competitors to most effectively compete, they needed that standardization. And the only way to get that standardization was to collaborate. And I see the same sort of process here that you're saying, if we can agree on a data standard, if we can agree on a processing standard, if we can exchange in a transparent manner the utility software, then the vendors can get on creating value in these other areas of the best flow computation, the best collision detection, and they can compete on those grounds while ensuring the interoperability and such that the community wants. So I think it's a very hopeful endeavor.
But I guess we need to build a community of users. Which will push for that, because if not, as it was mentioned also in the previous presentation, I don't think will really happen, because the use today is that you get completely protected international IPR software, including the TP.
Yes.
If you buy another tool, you also get the same thing. So there is no way, because of the IPR rights, that you can make it working with a single TP.
Yes.
So I think without a community, without a strong community push, I still see that difficult to jump
it
that
is difficult, step. Yeah, and I think, even more difficult than building a community is you need a Reuters. You need someone who's going to weigh in with enough clout within the market to say, this is what we're going to do. You know, we're no longer going to compete on this library or on this data or on this functionality. We're going to compete elsewhere, and let's collaboratively build a platform that we can all agree on. So it's finding the right champion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Were there more questions? Yes, please.
There's a clarification. When you spoke about we, it's always just Eurocontrol.
Yes.
Or is it Eurocontrol subcontractors? Or
no.
Actually Eurocontrol.
It's Eurocontrol and the FAA, because this work has been done specifically on this AP16 work.
Okay. With that, I would like to thank Carlos again. And